You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It is time to get up with another field day. 2 weeks from the draft, wait till you hear what Shefty says about this young star at the top. Plus, the Packers signal to at least one agent that the future is completely uncertain when it comes to their legendary QB. We'll tell you what it means. And how about them Cowboys? Are they set to make the splashiest move of the entire NFL draft? Answers to those and other questions as we get up with you on this Monday, starting right now. From New York, I am Greeny. Hope you had a wonderful weekend, and we are delighted you've chosen to get up with us. We put together a squad to talk football with you this morning as we close in on the draft. Jeff Saturday on a Monday. Diana Rossini's got the insight. The big swagoo is here, and Matt Miller's got all the draft insight. That's all on the way after we take a look at the Sunday headlines. It was a busy weekend indeed. It begins in the NBA, where Zion Williamson had himself a night last night. 25 points in the first half alone against Cleveland, on his way to a 38-point performance, one shy of his career high, as the Pelicans knock off the Cavaliers 116-109. How about baseball? A controversial finish on ESPN between the Braves and Phillies. Top of the ninth, that's Alec Bohm scoring from third on a short fly ball to left. The home plate ump calls him safe. The question is, did he ever touch the plate? After a review, the call was upheld. Phils would win by that run, 7-6. Braves manager Brian Snitker not pleased.
Snit, what did the umpire say to you when?
Nothing. He didn't say anything. I did all the talking. He didn't say anything. We're not giving explanations.
Okay. And when you, what you saw, did you ever see him touch the plate?
No.
Yeah. We have five different angles on a national televised game. It's clear that his foot didn't touch the plate, that it was on the chalk. Everyone saw it and sees it. You know, everyone knows it. And for MLB not to overturn that, it's embarrassing. You know, why even have replay if you won't overturn that?
Another day, another replay controversy. And there was a lot of reaction. You can see the Braves threw the word apparently onto the tweet there at the final score. And Mike Trout chimed in, responding to Will Middlebrooks, quite so bad. So it was a lot of frustration around the sport from baseball yesterday. And then how about Sunday at the Masters, which was on this day more of a coronation than a competition. And it was for that man, Hideki Matsuyama, who began the day with a four-shot lead. And it was a four-shot lead on 15. Here was the only really scary moment for him as he flies the green on 15. And into the drink he goes. That combined with a birdie on the hole for Xander Schauffele would bring the lead down to two. But then they would walk to the 16th tee. And Schauffele would try a very aggressive shot on the par three. And right there was the end of the Masters. Schauffele into the water on 16. He would make a triple bogey. And that would be all she wrote. All that was left was for Matsuyama to make a triumphant stroll up the 18th fairway and tap that in for his first green jacket, his first major. In fact, he's the first Japanese male ever to win a major championship, and got the victor goes the spoils, got the green jacket from Dustin Johnson. Look at the celebration heard round the world for Hideki Matsuyama, including from Tiger Woods, who chimed in, making Japan proud. Congratulations on such a huge accomplishment for you and your country. This historical Masters win will impact the entire golf world. So a very busy sports weekend it was. Meanwhile, we turn our attention to the future and the draft, which is right around the corner. Let's go through some of the things that you need to know, including the Falcons, who are taking calls on the number four pick. Todd McShay currently has Atlanta taking the tight end Kyle Pitts in his latest mock draft. Trey Lance, meanwhile, has scheduled a second pro day for April 19th. He held his first in front of 30 NFL teams back on March 12th. Lance, not the only quarterback prospect holding a second pro day. Justin Fields will work out for NFL teams during Ohio State's second pro day this Wednesday. Meanwhile, here's our Adam Schefter on the 49ers' plans at number three.
I think they have an open mind right now. I think that they go into this looking at the three quarterbacks that'll be there. They're obviously going to go watch Justin Fields work out again. I think they have a high opinion of Trey Lance, and I think they have a high opinion of Mac Jones. So I think they like all three. Now, if you're asking me today who I would guess Mac Jones today. But we're also 3 weeks away from the draft.
So that is the insight from Adam Schefter, and this is the crew we have ready to talk with us this morning. And Diana, I will come directly to you because we've been going back and forth. We've been doing this dance with San Francisco at number three, basically from the moment they made that huge trade to go up there and get the third pick. What is your understanding of the very latest as far as who they're looking at the quarterback spot at number three?
Yeah, we know Schefter does not mess around when it comes with information, and he is right. We're still 3 weeks out, but at this point, when a head coach and a GM find a quarterback they like, they love, you have to figure they're going to be committed. They're going to do all their homework on all these guys. But when you take a look at Mac Jones, and when I talk to people in San Francisco that have been in these meetings talking about these quarterbacks, they point to all the reasons why Mac Jones fits perfectly in a Kyle Shanahan offense. We know he loves to run play action. That's really where this offense takes off. And this is where Mac Jones really flourishes, his understanding of the game. And Greeny, I'm going to say it on this air every single time we talk about Mac Jones. When I hear about this player from not just people in San Francisco, from people all around the league, they always point to Mac Jones's intelligence, his ability to understand the offense, be able to read defenses, and this is something that Kyle Shanahan can build on.
Okay, I get it. And all of that makes sense. But Marcus, I'm coming to you. To trade all that they traded to move up to the third pick in the draft, to take a quarterback like Mac Jones, I hate to even phrase it this way because here's a young man just doing the best he can and trying to have an outstanding career. But is he good enough to be worth what they've given up to get there?
Not based on what I've seen, G. And listen, this is, I talked about Mac Jones going to the New England Patriots. I thought that would be a great fit for him. So it's not like Mac Jones is out of the first round of the NFL draft. But three, and I'm going to keep saying it until the draft comes. The third pick of the draft is supposed to change your organization. Or that's supposed to be the idea. You are not supposed to be looking for the same guys. You ain't supposed to be looking for Kirk Cousins or Matt Ryan at three. That ain't got you over the hump. You ain't supposed to be looking for Jimmy Garoppolo at three. That hasn't got you over the hump either. Now, if you are telling me, if San Francisco and any other franchise is telling me that they feel like Mac Jones is marketably better than Jimmy Garoppolo, or you're drafting him because you feel like Jimmy is hurt and not available enough, then okay, you kind of want to be the same football team and take the same chances. That's how I look at this. I'm not changing that view as long as we get to this draft.
And it does, Jeff. I think it is relevant here that they're not picking third because that's where they wound up. They traded three first-round picks to get there in the first place. I think, Jeff, that does have to be factored into this somewhere, too.
Yeah, listen, 100%. Think about this. They've really created the Mac Jones storm for this draft. I mean, by moving up, trading all these picks away, and then talking about and putting Mac Jones as their front runner, it's kind of blown people away. If you look at where Mac Jones was pre-draft, all those conversations, this guy was a late first rounder somewhere in that, and all of a sudden now we're talking about him at three. I'm with Swagoo on this. When you talk about the Justin Fields and the Trey Lances, the things that they can do outside of just pocket passing and play action passing, and all those things. Listen, I understand the fit for Shanahan. I get that. But at the end of the day, Shanahan has made every quarterback he has extremely good. So why would you trade all that away to go get a guy you could have gotten later on or traded less to get him? It just doesn't make sense to me to do what they've done and then go get a Mac Jones. And again, I'm with Swagoo. This isn't an indictment on Mac Jones. This was you pushed him up in there, and now you're paying a premium for what you've done.
Go ahead, Diana.
I'm against everything you guys are saying here, both of you, with all due respect. I look at it this way. Kyle Shanahan, going back to his days in Washington with Robert Griffin III and Kirk Cousins, And then he had so much success with Matt Ryan. You're right. He has had success with quarterbacks. But I look at him as a maestro. And he just needs to find the instrument that he can play the music he wants to play. And this is the instrument he seems to be wanting to play. And it makes sense. Why not find the quarterback that fits what you're trying to do to have success? This makes so much sense.
All right, but
he ain't won no Grammy.
He hasn't won a Grammy. Let me get Matt in. I'm sorry, but I haven't had Matt come in the whole day. Matt, for those who've not seen it, give us the evaluation. Give us the scouts' unbiased evaluation of Mac Jones as a prospect, and where does he rank on your overall board of the players in this draft?
Yeah, he is a good prospect, and I think that's where we all have struggled with this a little bit, because there are things that you like. He is very accurate. He's very smart. His processing speed, his ability to get from his first read to his second read to his third read, that is very developed. And as only a 17-game starter at Alabama, it is impressive how far along he is as a mental student of the game. But there are physical limitations. He has the weakest arm of the top quarterbacks in this draft. He is the least mobile of the top quarterbacks in this draft. So, Greeny, he's ranked number 27 overall on my big board, on my rankings list. I think that's where the hard part is a player ranked 27 will be drafted third. And I think to go full circle here, I'm never going to go against Adam Schefter's opinion or information. But if you traded two future first-round picks and a third-round pick and you don't know who you're drafting, that's irresponsible. Why would you trade and not know who you're taking? I don't understand the logic here at all. So I love Schefter, and he's always right. But you don't trade without knowing.
I don't think it's – yeah, Matt, I don't think it's – I'm with you on that. You have to realize, too, teams don't – you know this. Teams don't want the information out. They do not. Right. They're paranoid people. So while Schefter is saying they're going to look at all the options, that's true. But the San Francisco 49ers know who they're taking. They know who they're going after. They don't make that move. It's just we're 3 weeks out. So much has happened over the years. We've seen major shifts and changes. But I think for right now, it's safe to say this is the quarterback that they're targeting.
Marcus, so let me then get all the way back to you and Jeff over here with the angry wing of our show this morning so far. And it's just simply this. If you had called up Minnesota and said, we'll trade you 2 1s and a 3 for Kirk Cousins, how fast would they have made that trade? You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't need to give up that much to get this player. That, I think, is what we're saying here, Marcus.
Oh, man. I'm in the damn twilight zone. I'm telling y'all. Like, this is against everything any of us on this panel has ever watched. Like, if San Francisco, listen, if Mac Jones go third, kudos to him. Get your money, man. I hope it's the greatest situation, because I want people to not think that we don't think Mac Jones can play quarterback. We do. But our experience in looking at the NFL draft, when you trade away picks to go up and take a player, something about him has to be generational. It needs to be a trait that we can identify to say, that guy got something somebody else doesn't have in this draft. Kyle Pitts has a lot of people don't have in this draft. A lot of Ja'Marr Chase, Devontae Smith. If teams were doing that in need of those positions, we wouldn't scratch our head. We'll say, yeah, that looks like a generational talent. Mac Jones? Like, for all of that, and you already have Jimmy Garoppolo, by the way.
All right, we're just getting rolling. As you can see, there's a lot to be said today. We're 2.5 weeks from round one of the NFL draft, and we're just getting started on this Monday. Here we go, still to come. The Packers signal to at least one agent that the future is completely uncertain when it comes to their legendary quarterback. You'll find out what that means as we continue on. The Cowboys, are they set to make the splashiest move of the entire NFL draft? Those are the questions. We've got the answers as we're getting up with you on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back on Get Up. Marcus and Jeff, I just wanted this in the show today because there's, what can you say? Oh! Marcus, what can we say about that slam from Miles Bridges yesterday?
That's a poster. That's embarrassing. That's when you got to call your family and say, hey, it happened to me today, y'all. Just turn all the TVs off. Don't nobody watch social media. Don't do nothing. It happened today.
Is that the dunk of the year? I mean, Marcus, is that the dunk of the year in your opinion? You follow this stuff every day. I think it's the dunk of the year so far.
It is. It is, G. So far, man, like, because it's body to body. It's not like one of them sideways catching you. This is straight over the top. Body contact, you finish, and then you kind of, you know, you kind of look at him in a disrespectful way. I mean, it's just, man. Ooh-wee, bro.
Ooh. Jeff Saturday, in your basketball career. Which side of that were you more likely to be? Were you more likely to be Bridges or Capella in that circumstance?
I know I'm getting dunked on. I'm going to tell you this. I'm a better fouler than that guy. I ain't going to get dunked on. I'm going to take somebody with me, baby. You ain't going to get me like that. I can assure you of that. You might get me. You ain't get me like that.
I would have been the guy in the stands going like this. Okay. Outstanding. Just wanted to get that in the show because you know what? It was awesome. Meanwhile, so was this guy. Aaron Rodgers. You know the numbers. You know about last season. 13-3 again. Green Bay losing to Brady and the Bucs in the NFC title game and all of the questions that have surrounded his future since. One of the things he seems to have a bright future in is game show hosting if he wants to do it. He's been just awesome on Jeopardy. He finished 1 week of that and has another week of it to go beginning tonight. So what do we make of his future with the Packers? He just won his third MVP. But by now, you're well aware, Green Bay traded up to take Jordan Love last year in the first round of the draft. And then we have this. An anonymous NFL agent had this about Rodgers' situation with Green Bay, telling our Rob Domofsky, quote, "It's screwing the Packers in a lot of ways right now because there's just no cap space. They've called me about one of my players and said, hey, this is where we are now. And until we get something big done, hint, hint, we don't have any space. It's kind of like a lose-lose situation right now. That's surprising to me. You would think there'd be a middle ground situation to get something done." Well, isn't that interesting? Diana Russini, what should we take away from that?
Well, I'll say to that agent something my sister said to me when I was dating my ex-boyfriend, which is, he's just not that into you. Because that's really what this is. The Green Bay Packers, they are completely using the Aaron Rodgers contract as an excuse not to sign these free agents. This is like the oldest trick in the book. Teams will say anything to these guys to basically just avoid the hard truth, which is, look, we probably don't want to sign you. Because, Greeny, when has Green Bay ever really spent that much money on free agents? We know history repeats itself in this league. This is just not what this team does. The story here is, why are we still talking about this on April 12th, that the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers can't come up with a compromise here on their contract? And the way I see it, and from even having conversations around the league about what the issue is the player, the team can restructure his deal if they want to, but they're not going to want to do this if this is going to anger Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers is not doing any favors for the Green Bay Packers right now.
So that's where the relationship is. Regardless, I mean, I don't know who's not into who in that, in your analogy, but I got it. So Jeff, I mean, the bottom line of it is this. Rodgers is looking down the, you know, down the nation to Tampa, where the Buccaneers are moving heaven and earth to try and maximize the window they have with Tom Brady and win as many championships as they can in that. I'll just ask it to you directly, Jeff. Is that what the Packers should be doing right now?
Absolutely. I mean, this is insanity to me. We just talked last segment about trading two firsts for Mac Jones. What would you trade for Aaron Rodgers? Like this is mind-blowing to me. Like, how are you not, this is the easiest negotiation in football, and you keep screwing it up. Like, I don't understand this process. And, you know, Mark Murphy a couple weeks ago, yeah, we haven't done anything with – why? Like, why have you not done something with Aaron Rodgers? I do not understand this at all. He is – I don't care what happened with Jordan Love last year. Hey, eat crow. We did the wrong thing. We should have gotten a receiver, whatever that looks like. Or in 4 years, Jordan Love will still be here. Whatever you got to say to appease Aaron Rodgers, but get this contract done. It is insanity that they are letting this thing move on. He'll be the best player on their roster for the next 2 years. So you might as well sign him and get this thing going.
Go ahead, Marcus.
Man, listen. Aaron Rodgers is going to get out of Green Bay, y'all. Like, the one Super Bowl over all of these years is going to be his motivating factor. I thought it was going to be last year. So maybe I'm a year late, but it seems like Aaron Rodgers has found, like, it's over between him and Green Bay. That's what it feels like. That's not what he's saying. That's not what Green Bay is saying. But if you look at everything that's transpiring, it seems like Aaron Rodgers is looking elsewhere, like trying to figure out how he's going to maneuver and find his next destination to play and give himself a chance to win a Super Bowl. I think the point that was made about what he's looking down in Tampa, that's the greatest point. But you can look at New England. Look what they did in the offseason. You can look at Miami, what they did in the offseason last year.
Yeah.
We have not talked about Green Bay in the same vein as trying to get guys like that. Buffalo went and got Stephon Diggs for Josh Allen. Look how that turned out. So there's a lot of things Aaron can look at and say, Green Bay is mismanaging my time.
And Diana, just to sort of spin it all the way back to your relationship analogy, is Aaron Rodgers a year away from changing his relationship status to single and very much out there looking?
Yeah, that Facebook status. Does anyone even do that anymore? I got to update mine, by the way. I think all signs are pointing to the fact that this isn't ending well. This doesn't look like on paper that it's trending in a direction that's going to make everybody happy. Green Bay Packers have stated how they feel about Aaron Rodgers just based on their actions. We live in a show-me-don't-tell-me world, and they're showing him.
That's exactly right. All right. It continues to be the situation that would not go away. In the meantime, we can watch him on Jeopardy for another week. He seems to be awfully good at that. We are just getting started as we continue to get up. Coming up next, are the Cowboys set to make the splashiest move of the entire NFL draft? You'll hear what one of our draft experts think as we continue in just a moment. Will it be for that man? And, we got trivia this morning, and this one's for Marcus. Here we go. Which of these franchises has the longest active drought without reaching a conference championship? Raiders, Chargers, Cowboys. That's the question from Hembo. The answer is next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up, and here we go, Swagoo. Sneaky Hembo's got this one for you. Which of these franchises as the longest active drought of not reaching a conference championship game?
Dallas Cowboys.
You knew he was doing that just to you. That is correct. The Dallas Cowboys last made a conference championship in 1995. That is the happiest Hembo has ever been to have someone get one of his questions right. Meanwhile, let us run our way through a few calls that need to be made in the upcoming NFL draft, and we'll get to the Cowboys in a minute. But, Jeff, I'll start with you. Zach Wilson or Justin Fields at number two? Who you got?
I'm going Justin Fields. Listen, this guy, I mean, what, he's got 80-plus touchdowns in college, nine interceptions. This guy continues to impress me. I had him right under Trevor Lawrence before the season, after the season. I don't care whatever else is telling me in the draft. This kid passes the eyeball test. He continues to do things that amaze me, running the 4.4. He's 6'3", 230, or 225, whatever he is. This is a grown man, great quarterback. I take him too.
Yeah, I think a lot of people say that, and yet that's not what's going to happen. Meanwhile, Swagoo, should the Falcons draft a quarterback at four, or should they trade down?
Draft the QB. Listen, Matt Ryan is no spring chicken, still playing really good, but you need to start looking into the future. You don't want to be in a situation a lot of these organizations are in or franchises when they've kept their guy too long without a succession plan. I know we hate that Green Bay did it, and we also hate that Pittsburgh doesn't have one. So where do you want to be, Atlanta?
I think that's fair. And then back to those Cowboys we talked about. Matt, if they trade Cowboys, if Atlanta's open for business, should the Cowboys trade up for Kyle Pitts or draft a defensive player?
Greeny, we've become good friends. You know what I'm going to say. You trade up for Kyle Pitts if you can get him. I said it last week. This will be the best offense in the NFC if Kyle Pitts is there with Amari Cooper. All the talent they have, Michael Gallup, Ezekiel Elliott, Dak Prescott coming back healthy. I know what my lineman friends are going to say here. They have 10 picks in this draft class, guys. 10. 10 picks, remember that, before you roast me here.
So Matt Miller, draft expert, says the Dallas Cowboys should trade up to take Kyle Pitts. What does Jeff Saturday say?
Matt, you are high. Welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. You've been down there with Jerry. You're in Jerry's world. I don't know what is going on. You don't trade up from 10 to 4. You sit at 10. And, hey, by the way, I'm going to jump on the O-line love. Wait for Slater, who is going to be there at 10, and have your next tackle after Smith leaves or Collins can't get healthy or bump him into guard. You got a 10-year guy. They're going to be an incredible offense anyway. They were on pace for 6,000 yards last year before. You don't need that addition, man. Don't trade the picks away. Keep slotted where you are and make it happen with another good player.
Now, Slater is Rashawn Slater, the tackle out of Northwestern, who does figure to be there at number 10 if that's the direction they want to go. Let me bring in the former Cowboy on this. Marcus Spears, where do you stand?
Listen, last week they put up a graphic, G, on NFL Live and said Kyle Pitt, 91% of Kyle Pitt's catches were a first down or a touchdown. And I jokingly tweeted, ooh, do I have to rethink this trade-up thing? The answer is hell no. You do not trade up for Kyle Pitts. You solidify this offensive line, right? If you go in offense, I'm with Jeff.
Defense.
You solidify this offensive
too.
Line. From a defensive standpoint, it holds the field. And if you think Surtain or J.C. Horn is a corner opposite of Diggs where you can have two guys playing at a top level, absolutely you make that move. But to go get Kyle Pitts, to me, not only to go get him, but to trade up and you're going to lose some capital in order to go up, doesn't make sense, especially to that point. And I believe Dak threw for 5,000 yards the year before last year. So this offense has been pretty good from that standpoint. They need to figure out how to stop people. Did we not watch the Super Bowl?
Go ahead, Diana.
Mm-hmm. Defense. That's what I'm hearing in terms of their focus. And guys, we've seen Jerry Jones in the past make a lot of trades on draft day. He's done it. But I think if there would be a trade involving Dallas, it'd be in the later rounds, second, third, fourth, to get more picks. You know, perhaps we could see a similar play that the Panthers made in 2019. Remember when they just cleared it all out, went defense all across the board? This is something that Dallas could perhaps do. I know they need an offensive lineman as well. But really, when you talk Dallas, their one Achilles heel at this point is this defense.
And Matt Miller, welcome to the club. Once again, we have christened you on the program now.
You haven't
really
trying to
been
have
on
fun.
Good Up yeah. until Jeff Saturday has called you. So you shouldn't feel bad about that at all. And again, I'll give you the final word on this because everyone disagrees with you.
That's okay. I'm the new guy. Everybody gets to disagree. No, offensive line's a huge priority. I do think they need to address the defense. You guys know how much I love Kyle Pitts, though. So if you have an opportunity to get a player who – I've talked to people around the NFL. They say if anyone in this class is going to be an all-pro rookie year, it is Kyle Pitts. So you could ask me any team, should they trade up for Kyle Pitts? My answer is probably going to be yes at this point.
Yeah. Go ahead, Diana.
Everybody loves Kyle Pitts. Everybody loves Kyle Pitts. He's like the Giselle of the supermodel world. Like if you could get it, you want it. But he's not going to be there once Dallas is on the clock.
No.
I mean, the question is, does he wind up going at four? And if not, then how far does it potentially slide? All right, fascinating. Now let's talk about a guy who once upon a time was kind of like that, the receiver everybody was dying for. And now rumors continue to swirl around Odell Beckham Jr. and his future in Cleveland. While the Browns insist OBJ is part of their plans, listen to Cleveland.com's Mary Kay Cabot talking about his future.
I don't think that there will be a trade partner for him out there. I think he's going to be on the team this season. But I would also say that I'm believing that Odell and Jarvis are going to be the two main receivers this year. If someone did come and make an offer, still think that they would listen to it. I don't think they're 100% locked in having to have him on the team this year.
Diana, pick it up from there and run with it. What are you hearing about Odell Beckham Jr.?
Yeah, Mary Kay is a fantastic beat reporter in Cleveland. She's been doing it for decades. And I'm just going to add a layer to what she's saying here, which is Cleveland would answer the phone. They would discuss this with teams if they could get a trade partner for Odell Beckham Jr. But I did talk to sources in Cleveland about this happening, perhaps now, maybe closer to the draft. Is this something that they're talking about? Is this an agenda for them? And the sense I get is no. They're not looking to trade Odell Beckham Jr. This is a player that they know is dynamic. He's made Baker Mayfield better. He's a big part of this offense. But it is one of those things. If somebody is willing to give a good amount up for Odell, I definitely believe Cleveland will listen.
Marcus, what do you think?
Listen, man, you don't trade away Odell Beckham Jr. and that talent. But there's a but to this. I think the injuries are starting to creep into some of the conversation. And if a team is justifying moving on, that would be the reason, just the inconsistency of having him on the field. But production and what he does when he's on the field, man, you don't get rid of that. We are talking about this league. We just came off the conversation with Kyle Pitts. Guys that can absolutely change a game in a matter of a play or two. That's still OBJ. That's still Odell Beckham Jr. So I think teams would be interested in trading for him. I think Cleveland would be crazy to trade him. So I believe he'll be in Cleveland. But if somebody comes with a big enough haul that's enticing enough, I think the injuries will come into thought, which may make Cleveland make the move.
Go ahead, Diana.
Marcus, I just wanted to add a little bit to that because I do agree with you in terms of Odell Beckham's skill set and what he can do. We've seen the highlight rips. But I was calling around last night just to try to get an idea. Maybe there's a team out there who is actually in on him. And I had one head coach, and he said this a little tongue-in-cheek, but he's like, wait, what team does Odell play for again? And he didn't mean that disrespectfully. He just meant it because Odell has dealt with so many injuries, and he's not the same kind of guy we saw when he was, you know, in New York, where he was having some success there with Eli at one point. So I think the steam around Odell is obviously changed over the years as he is getting older and dealing with these injuries. But I know Odell will definitely see this. He will put this on Instagram and come back better than ever because we know what motivates him, and that's people criticizing his game.
Right, we'll see. And the reality is it's kind of hard to mean that respectfully. So I don't know if he didn't mean it disrespectfully. I'd hate to hear what his respectful thoughts are. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, listen, I think this is a perfect situation for the Browns, right? Is OBJ, whether it's because of injuries or just natural maturation process for OBJ, you're not hearing anything about him in a negative light, which usually in the offseason there's some kind of stir, there's some kind of issue, you kind of have all these conversations. I think with he and Landry, this is a run-centric offense, right? They want to play ground and pound and then let Mayfield hit play action. OBJ is ideal for this along with Jarvis Landry. I think the tandem of these two guys makes this a really scary offense that can be explosive on the back end, especially if you got to put a bunch of guys down the box. Why trade away a guy who can do what he can do with the ball in his hand? And again, Swagoo said it, Diana said it, there's not going to be a big haul on a trade away. So hold on to the talent you have and let him play with a little chip on his shoulder. It may turn out best for both of you, for the player and the team.
Diana, real quick, go ahead.
And Greeny, I just want to add something. Somebody from Cleveland just sent me a note now saying we're looking to get something done with Jadeveon Clowney. So that's a free agent that they'd been interested in over the last few seasons, and we know that he already made an official visit with them. This isn't an Odell conversation we're having, but just think about this defense. If they're able to get a deal done with Jadeveon Clowney, if he can stay healthy this season, they could have quite the monstrous defense there. So we'll see if that pans out, but I'm being told that this is something that could work out.
Look at Diana, breaking news. As we sit here, that's outstanding. Yes. Maybe Jadeveon Clowney.
If there is a team that is
ascending, maybe it's Cleveland. All right, leave this here a minute. I got to get to some of a few other things, but we'll come back to it because that's fascinating. In the meantime, want to make sure you know that we have a special Monday night NBA doubleheader for you tonight on ESPN. Joel Embiid and the Sixers taking on Luka and the Mavericks at 7:30 Eastern. And then out to the Chase Center in San Francisco, Steph and the Warriors taking on Jokic and the Nuggets. Our coverage will start with Stephen A's pregame sports center at 7 o'clock Eastern time. And it is a big day in a lot of ways because we are celebrating the third birthday of ESPN+. It's been 3 years of bringing you hat tricks, three-pointers, 30 for 30s, and so much more. We invite you to celebrate with us today by streaming your favorite live sports, originals, and documentaries on ESPN+. And we thank you for joining us these past 3 years. If you don't have ESPN+ yet, it is not too late to join the party. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com. As we continue in a draft absolutely loaded with offensive stars, we will tell you the one mistake many GMs are sure to make on draft night. That's next. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back on Get Up, and this is something we do called Change My Mind, where I will make a statement that is both provocative and obviously accurate, and we'll see if anyone else on this program wants to change my mind. And Jeff Saturday, I will actually look at you as I make this statement, and it is quite simply this. When faced with the choice between taking an elite receiver or an elite offensive lineman in an NFL draft, NFL teams should take the lineman 100 out of 100 times and not look back. There are any number of reasons for that. The biggest is offensive tackles always pan out in the NFL draft, and wide receiver actually has the lowest hit rate of any position in the entire National Football League. Jeff Saturday, your thoughts.
This is why I love you, Greeny. The intelligence. I mean, this is like asking offensive linemen, are donuts a staple of their diet? The obvious answer is yes. Absolutely, it's a staple. And it should be. An offensive lineman should always take precedent over a wide receiver. You plug and play these guys. When you find a guy that you know can come in and can make a contribution to your football team, this is what it is. You can find guys later, but elite offensive linemen, listen, only so many are created, and Swagoo knows it. Size, speed, angry, we call them big skill, not little skill. Little skill is outside, Greeny. Big skill, it is a rarity, and you always take them. I love your opinion. There's no way I would try
absolutely
to change it.
Marcus, go.
There used to be a saying on this video game I played, which was the greatest saying ever. Big fast people beat little fast people. And that's exactly yes what you do in the NFL. You try to find a lot of big fast people. Now, obviously, you need your skill guys and position guys. But listen, there is no better definition. And my stupid self for picking the damn Kansas City Chiefs with no offensive line in the Super Bowl, I'm still losing sleep over that because it went against everything I've ever learned about football. So the bottom line is draft the tackle that you think can protect your quarterback and then go find weapons for your quarterback later, or you try to find guys that are hidden gems. Look, I that's played right for the Dallas Cowboys when Miles Austin became a Pro Bowler and an All-Pro at wide receivers. You can find these guys. It's hard to find these big physical tackles that can step in day one. Dallas has done pretty good with Tyron Smith, I would add.
And Matt, let's get into yep the weeds on this, okay? So the reason that I bring this up is because, and we just showed Todd McShay's mock draft, he has Penei Sewell and Rashawn Slater, two franchise, like generational franchise-changing yeah tackles, slipping way down the board behind three wide receivers and a tight end. Now, I know how much everyone loves Kyle Pitts, including you, Matt, but at the end of the day, if Penei Sewell falls all the way down to 13 in this draft, it will be one of the great surprises, in my opinion, and one of the huge misses that we've seen in a very long time. Matt, your thoughts?
If Penei Sewell's there at 13, a lot of general managers getting fired in the LA Chargers are probably winning the AFC West. It's that simple, because I'm actually going to agree with you guys. Mm-hmm. You have to go with the elite offensive lineman over receiver. I've actually said before, I'm pretty against drafting receivers in the first round. I know Himbo has the great hit rate, 60% alignment hit in round one. Not very many wide receivers. It's just not a position of value when you can find Michael Thomas in round two, Tyreek Hill in round five. You can find really good receivers outside of the first round. So I think offensive line, if all things are created equally, you have to go with the offensive lineman, especially with all these young quarterbacks. You have to go protect your guy.
Sometimes I think we're playing fantasy football in the actual NFL. Go ahead, Marcus. Quick final thought.
That's right. Look, by the way, just to add on what we're talking about, look at Wirfs in Tampa. Yeah. They drafted yes him to protect Tom Brady, and he was one of the better yeah offensive linemen. Forget rookies, one of the better offensive linemen in the NFL. He had a lot to do with them winning the Super Bowl, by the way.
These guys contribute immediately, and they stick around forever, and they almost never get hurt. I mean, if you take the receiver over the tackle, in my opinion, it is a very, very questionable
it better be Randy
move
Moss.
Meanwhile, exactly. And
that's right.
In the whole history of the sport, there's been one of him. All right, let's go on the clock here. 30 seconds on the clock and a bunch of different questions. Matt, I'm starting with you. Who has the better shot at winning Rookie of the Year this year, Kyle Pitts or Ja'Marr Chase? 30 seconds, go.
You guys know I love both these players, so this is tough for me. But I am going to go Kyle Pitts here. I think he has a better chance to get those wins early. He's going to be put in better matchups. It's hard to acclimate a wide receiver. I think a wide receiver should have 1,000 yards as a rookie. There are not very many of them. And it's often guys drafted later in the round. So I'm going to go Kyle Pitts here as better chance rookie of the year. He's probably going to go to a better quarterback situation, whether that's Atlanta or the Miami Dolphins. I think he's going to be the guy.
Fascinating. Well, you told us earlier, the answer for you to any question is going to be Kyle Pitts. So we were kind of cheating yeah by throwing that one out there. All right, Swagoo, who will be the starting quarterback in New England week one, Cam Newton or someone else? 30 seconds, go.
It'll be Cam Newton, and I believe Cam Newton yeah will have markedly better success than he had last year, obviously with everything that transpired. But I think about the moves that they made, G, with bringing in Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry and getting back to that 12 personnel and being able to run the football and take a lot of pressure off of Cam Newton. You add Bourne, you add Aguilar, you give him weapons. But more than that, they get this defense back, which is going to relieve Cam Newton as well. This will be a holistic team as opposed to us thinking Cam Newton was going to turn into Superman and do something out of the ordinary.
He's so much younger than people perceive him to be. He's 31 years old. Cam Newton has plenty of time for another act in the NFL here. Let's see if he can do it. Jeff, here's for you. Give me an AFC dark horse team that you could see in the Super Bowl this year. 30 seconds, go.
I'm going Indianapolis Colts, and I know people are going to say you're being a homer, but listen, I think Carson Wentz brings a lot to this football team, and I think Frank Reich, their head coach and play caller, is probably top three play callers in the NFL, and when you talk about the addition of Wentz, where the steps their defense took last year, they really should have beat Buffalo in the playoff game, and that's with Phillip Rivers. I think this is an upgrade for Carson Wentz and the ability for he and Frank to partner together. I think this team has a true shot if they can tie it all together.
You are indeed being a homer. It doesn't mean you're wrong, but there's no question that you're being a homer. There were a lot of ways you could have gone there, and we all saw that one coming. A reminder, by the way, speaking of what we know what's coming, we got good baseball for you coming up tomorrow night. Our doubleheader on ESPN features the Phillies and the Mets. They got game two of their four-game series at 7 o'clock Eastern. Then the Reds and Giants square off from San Francisco. And you can see all the action tomorrow night. Don't forget, you can also watch live on the ESPN app. Coming up, we'll tell you why the 49ers may no longer see Mac Jones as the answer at number three. There is a lot to get to here, and we will next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.